Welcome to Hammer Dad.
Dad, you've been slow on it recently. Number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Diggs. I'll be steering this ship today. Joining us will be Pat McAfee. With us right now, Canadian Sation.
Sation.
Sensation.
Oh, I like the Sation.
Bubba Gumpino, how are you doing today, sir?
Great day, Tony. Liverpool, Tottenham going on right now.
Our two footy teams are taking each other on right now, currently 0-0.
Bit of a stalemate.
In the first. Joining us on the FaceTime, our friend, former NFL GM, host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod. As we have told you many, many times, it will not disappoint. Subscribe to the Daily Coach, Michael Lombardi. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm wonderful, gentlemen. How are we doing today? How are things?
Mike, I am, honestly, you know, I'm a degenerate, so I will partake in all of the sports gambling. But if there's something going on in the stock market, I will also partake in that as well, Mike.
Are you in that? What do you got cooking there?
Oh, yeah. We're riding the wave. We're riding the wave right now. It's wild. It's a wild situation. We're holding the line. But, you know, we got a couple things cooking. Got a couple positions. You dabble at all?
No, I let the guy that I pay do that. I don't even know what I have in there. Here's what I told my stockbroker, okay? This is the advice I gave his ass. I don't want to be eating at 5 o'clock when I'm old, okay? I don't want the early bird special. Whatever the fuck you got to do to make that happen, you do. I'll give you the money. Just no early bird specials on my part. I'm not going at 4:30 to go down there and wait in line. I'm just not doing it.
You don't want to be eating with Uncle June, huh?
No, I don't want to eat Uncle June. No. No. If I don't lose weight, I'm not going to get old. So I got to start on that. That's the other thing I told Mr. McAfee. I said, this COVID shit's got to end here soon because this is killing me.
Mike, I can tell you this. Monday is a Monday. And it's also the start of a month. It's Monday, February 1st. I always love to start a good diet when it's the first of the month and a Monday because it just lines up perfectly.
Are we sending weight? The Pat wants to send everybody's weight so we can so we can make a contest. When I was at the Patriots, we used to do this all the time. We could lose weight. Daboll was the greatest. I've never seen a guy lose weight like Daboll. He could go up and down like Daboll literally has a closet of clothes. Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of Buffalo. When he was like 170 at the Browns, he was like the obviously he got down to 170, and I don't know what he is now. I don't know.
Well, I have that same closet.
It's a little higher than 170.
Lombo and I talked about this last night. If we're talking about having a bigger size, smaller size,
I have it.
And I'm kind of in the middle right now, by the way. So it's kind of a tough spot to be. Can't wear the small stuff. Big stuff doesn't fit right. Got at least another couple weeks. We need. Lombo and I were talking last night. He said he's starting to do a weight loss thing. Mm-hmm. We should do one for the off season, I guess.
Huh? I might go the other way.
You want to go? What do you mean?
I'm 195 right now. I'm looking to be 205.
Yeah, but you're trying to get yoked.
Yeah,
you're not different.
It's different than what we do.
We're trying to just cut weight in a cheating fashion. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
I like to be 195 today. Gump, could you trade with me, please?
Anytime, pal. Anytime.
Speaking of trades, Michael.
Yes.
News came out this morning. Deshaun Watson officially asked for a trade. Schefter said he did it weeks ago, but, you know, just coming out here today, surprisingly, the day after the head coach is hired, who, off the top of my head, I cannot remember his name.
Ever.
David Culley.
David Culley. Do you have any experience with Mr. Culley?
No, I don't. You know, he's been around the league a long time. He's been a part of the Andy Reid regime back in Philly. So he's coached a long time in the league. He and John Harbaugh were friends. I mean, I see this as really like a CEO type hire. You know, they bring him in. He's 65 years old. Give him some continuity. And I think train Luke McCowan to perhaps be involved and let him see where he goes.
Josh McCown.
You know, however they put this staff together.
Josh McCown.
Wrong McCown.
Josh McCown. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Who we love. He's come on Pat's show quite a few times.
He has great hair. Very cool guy. That'll be interesting, though, because he got interviewed for the head coaching gig. This is what everybody's just assuming, by the way, that David Culley is going to be there, and then Josh McCown is going to experience coaching for a year, see what he likes, what he doesn't like, and then he's potentially head coach. Is that what you're hearing as well? There's no way David Culley's agreeing to that, right?
Maybe a year, but I think he's got to learn how to become a coach and then how to become a head coach, and I think you know, that's something that he can do while David's trying to build a culture for them. I think it's actually probably a smart move for them to hire somebody who can help build a culture more than somebody. Is he going to call plays? Is he going to run the offense? Is he going to run the defense? Like, they need to rebuild their culture first.
There's been, I feel like, more than, because in the last couple of years, it was coordinators that who call plays that are getting hired. And now it seemed like there was more of a culture thing this year, which you're happy about because that you talk about all the time, right?
It's important.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I mean, they got a lot of work to do. Look, the Watson thing they've got to handle, but I think there's a couple things that we know that, and I'm not disputing any of the reports. I think Schefter and Mortensen are getting information directly from the source, but the source of the information is his agents. I mean, let's be real honest. They're controlling the narrative. It's a one-sided story. Not that the Texans have another side to the story, but this is the side that we're all hearing. And we don't know what the Texans' position is going to be. Are they going to say, okay, look, we own your rights. If you want to retire, you owe us a check for $21.4 million. If you want to sit out, it's $50,000 a day. This is bigger than just one player. If you're the GM of the Texans, you got to look at this as saying, if I let one player scream his way out of here, how do I stop other players from doing that? And you got to have a meeting. And I would say to the agent, look, you guys can say he's never going to meet with us, but then I'm going to say we're never going to trade him until we sit down and understand the full length of the problem and what's going on.
For most players, though, on that roster, can you look at him and be like, you're not Deshaun Watson?
Right. I get that. But you're also, you've got to be able to have some standards, some principles within the building. And look, this is not a guy who plays good quarter. This is a top five player in the league. He averaged almost 9 yards per attempt. What was his interception to touchdown ratio? It was ridiculous. He's 70% completion of his passes. I mean, the guy had one of the best seasons in football, but Mahomes and Rodgers made him look like he didn't even play very well.
Hey, think about this. And they also lost 12 games. He's the leader of that team. He's a quarterback, naturally leader of the team, right? I mean, that's you're the quarterback. Normally, general managers and front office and coaches, they'll throw a C on a quarterback regardless whether or not they're an actual leader or whatever. I think Deshaun is well-liked by that locker room. It feels like, just from the mic'd up stuff. Now that he's come out and said, you know, I want to be traded, I'm intrigued to see how this all plays out. If he was to go back to the Texans behind the scenes, coaches, teammates, everything like that. You know, I assume they don't hold against him at all, but that's an interesting thing to, you know, like to officially want to be traded. It's like, all right, there's speculation, but now come on and be like, get me the fuck out of here. That's an interesting, you know, that you saw with John Wall, and even though the NBA is much differently, but I'm just saying the locker room, that's an interesting reaction, I'd assume.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, if I were the GM there, I'd want to know since I just came in here, I'd want to know what the problems I'm dealing with. And since he was the captain, since he did wear the C, since he did sign a contract 140-some days ago, like, what has happened? Like, I mean, if I agree to trade you, tell me what I have to fix here so it doesn't happen again. Like, where did we go wrong? Like, we need to know that.
Just doesn't feel like they didn't build around him. Like, they didn't, you know, you wouldn't take DeAndre Hopkins and just throw him away when he was Watson's guy.
And was that Billy O'Brien, you think, or do you think it was Easterby? What do we think was going on there now, hindsight?
Eight towards Easterby tells me that a lot of people think it was Easterby. There's no way a guy who's in the background as much as Easterby has been is going to take this much fire and this much attack if people don't think he was instrumental in the Hopkins. Whether he was or not, I don't know. But the vengeance that comes out towards him tells me that a lot of the players think that they think that information that was given him, this is speculative on my part, information that was given him to the confidentiality of one-on-one relationships then led to the trade of Hopkins. I think there's that betrayal, and I think you've got to clear that up.
It's going to be tough. It's a tough situation.
Very tough. And whoever goes in, like Josh McCown now, because let's say they trade Deshaun, or don't trade him, and it just becomes an ugly scene. It's like, they got to sell their franchise to their fans too. What's that messaging? You know, there's a lot, because you're probably going to have to cut J.J. Watt, $17 million.
Look, we just traded a top five player in the league, and, you know, here's what we got back. Now, if they can hit a bonanza, you know, but we got to see what they do.
Do you think they can get a better offer like next year than they can from the Dolphins or Jets this year, though, Mike? Like, from the Jets or Dolphins, you can get a quarterback and picks. Like, do you see that happening from another team next year?
Right, but here's where he's got you. And they keep saying this, and every Schefter report, every Mort report that comes out reminds us this. He has the first right of refusal on trades. He can veto a trade. So what they're telling you by releasing that is he's going to pick his destination. Okay? Great. You want to go to Miami. Miami knows he wants to go there. Why would they offer full freight?
Yeah.
Very, very true.
See, this is all being manipulated by the media.
Why would they offer what?
Narratives being controlled by one side.
Full freight.
You know, you're telling me you want me to trade you. Okay, let's just have this conversation, me talking to Watson. Deshaun, you're telling me you want me to trade you. Okay, I don't want to trade you. I think you're one of the best players in the league. I've admired you forever. However, you're telling me to trade you, and then you're telling me that I have to trade you with a certain team who knows I have to trade you there, and they're going to fuck me on every offer I give them. So how do I, like, tell me where it comes out in my favor.
There's no leverage in your seat at all, is what Deshaun Watson would say, and that's your problem, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what he would say. I don't know.
And then I would say back to him, Deshaun, so you understand this. The rules have been engaged by your union. They've been collectively bargained. And the rights that I have in that is I don't have to trade you. If you'd like to retire, please feel free to send a check for $21 million to $21 million. and then, you know, also give me a chance to, you know, if you don't want to show up, you're going to pay a $50,000 fine, you know, every single day you don't come to camp. So I do have some leverage here. I do. Now, the media story that's coming out there that's controlled by the agent tells me I have no leverage. But I do. The collective bargaining agreement has given me leverage. I have that. NBA doesn't have that. You know, whoever traded Harden to they didn't have that. Harden could do whatever he wanted. You could fine him, but he didn't really have to.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because that is the realness of the situation is there's a chance that after all of this, that he's got no other option. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it plays out. Hey, yeah, as a guy who's done contracts, couple quick questions here. Is the late Spotrac, I believe it was. Was it Spotrac?
Yeah, probably.
Spotrac laid out his fine schedule, it would be. In the four preseason games are worth the exact same as the regular season games. If there's no preseason games, does he end up making the amount of money for four preseason games because it's scheduled and set up to be able to find his complete salary, right, including the four preseason games?
So when he starts missing games, not only does he lose his game check, he then has to start paying back his signing bonus. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's got to start paying back signing bonus, plus he's getting fined $50,000 a day.
Oh, so that's a lot of leverage.
That's what I'm saying. But you're not hearing that side of the story because that's not being controlled by the person that's planning the story. And again, I'm not blaming Schefter or Mort. That's their job. This is a gold mine for them. All they do is pick up the phone and just tweet it out and tell America. But Houston has some leverage here. And if they don't use it, you know, they look like a dumb team. I mean, you know, they've got to use it.
Man.
How about
they're going to cut J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Have you seen Will that? Fuller's have you seen that contract, agent? Mike? Because J.J.'s $17 million against the cap or $0 if they cut him.
Right. So, you know, I mean, look, here's the other issue they have is that they're $17 million over the cap. So, you know, if they cut J.J. Watt and they reduce his cap and they get him out, they pick up $17 million, they're below the cap. Okay, fine. But then they have some other players they need to deal with, too. You know, they've got a lot of guys, they're paying Randall Cobb 8.25. You know, they're paying the kicker 3.4. I mean, they've got ways to get money back that they need in terms of trying to make their team better.
Hey, but there's hold on, quick question. I'm so sorry, Gumpy. Quick question though. What you just said there about the kicker is why when I had to negotiate my contract, I had to find a number that was enough money for me that I felt like I was being paid fairly amongst everybody else, but not too high that if we have anything go wrong, if I miss one ball, I'm getting fired in that thing. Whenever you see that if they trade Deshaun Watson pre-June 1st, and then if they trade Deshaun Watson post June 1st. It's a difference of saving $21 million against the cap next year if it's pre-June 1st. If it's post-June 1st, it's only like 5 point something million, and then 2022 is 16 point something million, so it's spread over the 2 years. Next year's cap hit and dead money if they trade him post-June 1st is only $5 million with the cap going down. It feels like they would want that. If they trade him here soon, before the draft, say, because that's obviously a rather large part of that, how does that happen? Will they have to take the 20 plus million for the pre-June 1st trade dead cap hit next year and also trade away their franchise player?
I mean, they would basically say there's a trade post-June 1. Then they would designate this trade post-June 1. The trade would go through, but the cap totals would be post-June 1. So the trade would go through. Let's say the trade happens, you know, March the 12th. Then that trade goes through, and then the money is, it would be like they designated that player post June 1.
Got it. And that just happens. That's
nice. Yeah, that just happens. It comes off the cap. So, you know, but look, they're going to have to figure it out. I mean, this is, again, they have some leverage in this thing. This is not just the way it's portrayed, that he's demanding and they want out and you send me to Miami and you take whatever Miami wants to give you. Like, that ain't going to happen.
But if they have no picks, how do you convince Deshaun that you're going to roll out that same roster next year? You have no money, that you're going to compete at any sort of level, Mike?
Well, I think you got to go back and look at the tape. I mean, they were inside the 5-yard line twice against a team that made it to the playoffs, the Colts, right? You know, they have Tennessee, a team that made it to the playoffs. They went one game to overtime, and another game they had a chance to get it to overtime. I mean, you got to sit there and say, look, we're going to get better on defense. We were terrible on defense. We're going to rearrange some things. We got to get some players. You know, we're going to do whatever we can do to make the team better, and you're part of that. And we're going to make an offensive line that blocks better than giving up 60 sacks a year like we've done the last 2 years. So there's ways to do it. And because he's such a great player, if we play complementary football to his strengths, we can get better in a hurry.
What do you think Easterby's saying?
I mean, I don't know what he's saying. You know, I think it's – they're not saying too much in the building. I can't imagine that they got to show a comprehensive plan.
Hey, isn't it interesting, though, that when you think of the Texans right now, you literally go, what are Kyle McNair and Easterby going to do? They're like a tag team now.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody talks about Nick. I mean, he's the Cesario, and he's the general manager. Everybody talks about Easterby.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's like you got to get out there, and you got to look. I learned this from watching the 76ers in basketball. If you tell people what your plan is, you can get people to buy into it. Yeah. I never bought into the process, but there's a zillion people in Philadelphia that did. They'll still quote the process.
Trust the process, believe Mike. Mike, trust the process. Come on.
The process. I never trusted it, and no one's going to prove to me it worked out. You know, the reason they got Embiid was because he had a bad shoulder, he had a bad foot, and he failed physicals, so he dropped to the third pick. I mean, the guy they wanted was Andrew Wiggins, and that was the whole process was built for.
Well, I don't think it would have worked around him either.
No, he is.
Hey, Embiid's balling, though.
He is. I was on the wrong side of that one. I thought for sure, of course, you know, typical Sixer game, they're up 105 to 95, and they let them rack off 11 straight, and it takes Tobias Harris 15-footer to beat them.
Just like last year, Mike, if they're home, you can bet them. If they're away, don't touch them.
Good shot. Good point.
Feels as if Ben Simmons is not going to get better at basketball.
Oh,
oh, I think you're way wrong on that, Gump. We hate that forever. I think Simmons is one of the best players, and I have coaches in the league that I talk to on a regular basis. One guy sent me a defensive clip that Simmons made the other night against Detroit that's just sensational. He doesn't shoot. He makes everybody else better.
But can't you work? Like, look at LeBron when he came into the league, though, Mike. Like, he couldn't shoot either. Like, can't you work on that? Like, get better at all?
Well, look at his free throw percentage, Gump. When he first got in the league, they were hack-a-fouling him and sending him to the line. He couldn't make shit. The other night when they beat – who'd they beat the other night? He made Detroit. He made free throws down the stretch. He was 10 for 12 on free throws down the stretch. He's improved his free throw shooting tremendously. They try to hack him, foul him, and he makes them. Now, he doesn't shoot the three-pointer consistently, but he's so good going to the rim, and he's so good defensively. I mean, he can guard anybody on the court.
How do you make it to the NBA if you can't fucking shoot a basketball?
Well, he's so I've had the privilege of watching them practice last year, I've never seen somebody as fast and as big as him on a court. Like it was truly amazing for me. And I mean, I've seen Jerry Rice, I've seen fast guys. This guy was, I mean, he was explosively fast. Of course, Embiid was not practicing the day I was there. He was sitting on a stool over there. But Simmons was sensational.
You take him, I mean, 6'10 point guard coming out. They're like, we'll figure it out. Like, as far as the shot's concerned,
would you take him over having James Harden right now, Mike?
I would have. I mean, look, I think the other thing is, like, we're going to hear about the Stafford trade, which I think the Stafford trade will get done next week. I really do.
Oh, where's it going? Indy?
I don't know where it's going, but I think it gets done next week.
They could wait one
but
more week.
I think it gets done before the Super Bowl.
Be great.
but I think what we'll see about that is we'll see the impact that you know, where the cause and effect of the Stafford trade, where it all ripples out to.
That'll be
Deshaun, you'd have to trade for him. What do you think? Couple firsts?
Yeah, I lost my train of thought on that. I was talking about Stafford. See, everybody talks. Al Davis used to say this all the time. Like, you know, he gave up 2 ones for Michael Haynes. And, oh, how could you give up 2 ones for Michael Haynes? You know, I really only gave up one because his thing was he was going to pick a player in the first round anyway, right? And he got a player back in Haynes.
Yeah, so I could
player. He got one player. He just gave up an asset to get that one player.
I love that. Picking up another first rounder and not counting it as, you know, something you traded for because you're going to pick up a player anyways. Like Chris Ballard, whenever he traded for DeForest Buckner, mm-hmm. and he said, I'm going to watch film of DeForest Buckner whenever the 27th pick rolls around and feel pretty good about what just happened there. But with Matthew Stafford, it said about a third of the league has reached out to the Lions.
Interesting. Yeah, which now, okay, see, this is a lot of ripple effect going on here now. Okay, the job you have as a GM right now, if you're in this race, right, is you got to figure out who you're competing against. That's A. And then B, you got to back channel who you're competing against to figure out who they're trying to get rid of. So let's hypothetically say San Francisco's nibbling around on Stafford. I don't know if they are or not. I'm making this up. Well, that means Garoppolo's available. So do you go back on Garoppolo? You know, let's say another team with a quarterback. Let's say the Raiders are nibbling on Stafford. I don't know. That's Derek Carr. So you got to approach it that way. You know, if you're going all in on Stafford, you still got to have a back door on what you want to do over here. So you're like a short order cook. You're trying to cook about 3 meals at the same time.
How about Goff?
He's untradeable. David Blaine, the magician, can't get him out.
That was a good tweet.
Do you think GMs will wait at all to see if anything comes up with Rodgers, though, Mike, instead of biting on Stafford early?
I think everybody's view on Rodgers is the same as my view. The dude is that they owe him money.
Yeah.
Green. You know, and you better pay the dude money because they're not going to trade him. You got to pay him. I mean, he's making $11 million less than Mahomes per year. That's $33 million that he's lost out of, you know, his 3 years. So somehow we got to come to an agreement on that. The guy that you would trade is Jordan Love. Like, if you love Jordan Love coming out, just say you did, then you got to call Green Bay up and say, look,
nobody
I want to trade for Jordan Love.
Nobody did. He dropped 26.
Yeah, I mean, so you give him a two. I'll give you a two, and if he ends up being a starter – if he goes to a Pro Bowl, I'll give you a two down the road or something like that. What are you going to do with him? He's like a luxury car that you can't take out of the driveway. Not that he's a luxury car. He's a car you don't think about.
Mike, did you watch any of the tape yet on Chiefs?
I watched the Chiefs Buck game again. Do you guys watch it?
Not yet. Let's do that tomorrow since we have all show tomorrow. What do you like in basketball tonight?
I don't really like anything. I was asking Gump about this Rutgers play. It's fascinating how Michigan State hasn't played a game since January the 8th when they beat somebody January 8th, and now they're playing Rutgers, who they beat by 20, and the line's moving towards Rutgers, which I don't think that really matters, right? It opened at 2.5. Now it's up to 3. You know, it's a game in Rutgers. I don't know about that one. I to me, there's a lot of talk about that game. There's a lot of one thing I'd like to do on college is look at the ticket count, you know, and find the ticket count and then see if there's a game that has a low ticket count that you feel like, OK, like let's just take Southeast Missouri State's playing South Southern Illinois.
Southeast, right? Still and, minus 2.5, Mike?
Yeah, it was minus 2, and it went up to 3, and it came back down to 2.5. It only has 529 tickets on it. Southeast Missouri State has 30% of the money, 30% of the tickets, 60% of the money. Mm-hmm. Now, that tells me there's sharp money on that game.
Yeah, I like Southeast Missouri there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sharp money.
That's the sharp. That's not that's the sharp how I look money. At
Gumpy's the sharp. I'm looking through the games right now.
Mike.
Go ahead.
Sir. Mike, just some stats on that game. Michigan State, 4+ days off. They are 0-5 ATS. With the rest advantage, they are 0-3 ATS, 1-5 ATS in conference games.
It's a tale of
that's why everybody's on Rutgers, because they're reading your numbers.
Well, it's a correct. Tale of two different seasons for Rutgers, too. They were rolling coming out. Then they lost 5 in a row. They finally won their last one.
All right, I'll give you another one. Who where are you guys on the Lakers-Pistons tonight?
You guys like Michigan State?
I don't like any of it.
No.
What was that one you
where
said?
You guys on the Lakers-Pistons tonight?
What do you like Lakers-Pistons?
Where the fuck South?
So the line opened up at 9.5. It's dropped down to 6.5. You know why?
No.
Well, it's got to be because LeBron ain't playing or D'Anthony Davis isn't playing. Because
it's on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And they could sit them out against the Pistons because they're not allowed to sit out in marquee games. And I assume Lakers-Detroit is not a marquee game.
I would assume that to be correct.
And yes. Lakers-Celtics is a marquee game Saturday night.
There you go. This is all important data.
Hey, man, I'm putting a parlay together, everything you guys are saying here for tonight. I got Southeast Missouri State. I got the Pistons plus 6.5 tonight over the Lakers.
No, I don't even know if I would take the – yeah, the Pistons are – they're the reverse line movement, contrarian, yeah.
Jacksonville State minus 3.5 against Morehead State.
Okay.
They're the better team there. And I also like San Jose State getting 5 at home against Air Force. I love a home puck.
I was just texted by my source, Mike, that Anthony Davis is out tonight.
Yep, there you go. That's why that line moved. See?
You have a source in the Lakers?
My brother-in-law loves basketball.
CJ.
CJ. Yeah.
Does he know somebody? There's a celebration out there. There's a celebration out there because CJ has
an insider source at the Lakers. Phoenix, where are you guys on that? Golden State had a big win last night, played back-to-back. Phoenix didn't. Phoenix lost. You know, Phoenix, I don't know if Booker's going to play. The line opened up. The line opened. Golden State was laying one. Now Phoenix is the favorite at minus 1.5.
Mike, you follow the great Bambino?
Hold on. Is this for the parlay for tonight?
Yeah, if you want to go with it, I mean, you got to think about where you're going with it. Hold on.
Where is it, Golden State or not?
I mean, I would go with Golden State in this.
They're playing good ball right now.
Okay,
They're playing very good ball right now. Steph Curry is really taking over.
Yeah, I don't think Booker's going to play.
Bless you.
Thank you. That's plus 2,400 right there.
I got some more for
that's
you, too.
It's a five-team parlay for plus 2,400. Sure.
Take Belmont.
Is that NCAA?
Yeah, you're on Belmont.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me find him.
Oh, you see, Drake is 13-0 against the spread this year, Mike.
Drake?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it.
Yeah. Drake's coffee cakes. Got to love the Drake.
I used to go to Drake used to have football. That's how old I am. I always have to go to Drake the Scout.
Do you have any others?
Oh, yeah. UTEP.
You feel good about all these, yeah?
I do.
All right, UTEP in.
Louisiana Tech. And SMU under. I don't know if you like unders or not.
Oh, I don't normally bet on this sport, so I like whatever, bub.
And then the last one is UNC Asheville.
Oh, UNC Asheville?
Are you against me on both of those? Or?
I'm not touching that.
There's
UNC. I love it.
Louisiana Southern Miss under? Is that what you said?
No, it was... Yeah, sorry.
Louisiana Tech Southern Miss under? Okay, that
hey, tomorrow we got to hit those props.
And that's plus 31,961. I'm putting 250 on it. $79,000 we're standing to win here. Right, boys, let's go and get it.
Hey, at least you know you won't be fucked over by the greedy corporate fat cats, okay?
That's right. I'll be able to bet on it if I want
Mike,
to.
Mike, we will do props tomorrow.
Hey.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys.
We'll go over your film, too.
Tails, head, tails 29, heads 25, Super Bowl coin flips.
Wow.
I heard a report that the head, the way they're using this coin, I got this reported today from the great Josh Applebaum, the sharp of all sharps. He told me that the coin they're using in this game, the head's a little heavier than the tail, so tails are a better pick.
All right. Tails never fails.
Tails is always a better pick. Anyways, I'm happy that they rigged the coin for that.
I'm just saying, I don't know much about coin. It's 50-50.
We'll talk all that. I got stats. I got stats tomorrow, Mike.
All right. We'll talk tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Guys. Good luck.
Have a good one, Mike.
Nick, come in here.
Oh, a puck. Hey, 1-0 Liverpool. So
what are you
winning?
70, what are you winning? 70-something? 70,000 tonight?
79,900 or something.
That's pretty good.
Is that good? Hammer done. Is that good?
You got any more footy picks for tomorrow or anything?
No, there's only a couple games tomorrow. I have 10 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday.
Hey, you've been winning too, huh?
6-2 last Sunday, yeah.
How's that?
It's a good day.
How's that?
And maybe just a thought.
Yep.
Maybe just wait till the end of the game to tell me my picks stink.
Oh, that never happens.
That'd be very nice.
That's just a thought.
Early, they tell you how dumb you are, huh?
Yeah.
And then things kind of turn around.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not right. It happens.
I think this might turn into a segment this year, by the way.
What's that?
You versus Nick in hockey picks. He'll give his picks, and you'd be like, nah, pick stinks.
So I'm a hockey sharp.
Yeah, you are a hockey sharp. Nick, yeah, you in here?
I don't want that smoke, so that just let it be known. No, I want my picks to compliment Pat's picks.
Nicky skates.
Nick, this is a team here, pal.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate it. Dick's trying to turn us against each other.
That's hockey talk.
Shout out for that CJ bomb, too, we got in there.
Yes, we did.
Hey, was that good pop out there, huh, for the CJ bomb?
Whole place erupted.
I heard a good pop out there.
All right, a lot of action tonight. And I tried to get in on as much of it as I felt good about. The Rangers at Buffalo.
Hold on. I'm going to do a Nicky tweet or Nicky Marotto FanDuel parlay.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right.
Hey, parlay insurance.
NHL five-way, $25.
Also, this is a very good one.
Yeah, you do this one.
This is any Moneyline hockey bet, up to $50 refund if your team is winning after the first period and they lose the game.
FanDuel's doing that?
Yes, sir.
Let's go!
I like that.
That's unbelievable.
It's very good.
How many times can I do that?
Every game, my friend.
Bingo.
Sorry, Nicky Skates.
No, you're good. Let's go under. Under 6 here.
Which game?
This is Rangers at Buffalo. The total's gone under in 5 of the Rangers' last 6 games on the road, and the total has gone under in 4 of Buffalo's last 5 games when playing at home against the Rangers.
It's actually under 6.5 now.
Even better.
It's at -130, though. That thing's moving. Better get there.
And then we'll go Rangers -120 money line.
-118.
Grab that up. Then we got Montreal -127. Playing at home against Calgary.
Oh, the Habs.
Got to go with the Habs. They're hot. 5-0 straight up in their last 5 when they play Calgary.
Montreal 2-4 to the first period over.
You love the periods. I can't get into the period bets.
Well, I'm just giving up.
Keep them going. Let's go Flyers at New Jersey. Flyers -166 on the money line and the over at 5.5.
Flyers 2-5 to the first period over.
5-0 against the spread in the last 5 when playing on the road against Jersey. Total's gone over in 6 of the Flyers' last 7 games. Total's gone over in 5 of the Devils' last 6 games when playing at home against the Flyers.
Here we go.
Tampa Bay on the ice tonight, -145 money line against Carolina, who hasn't played since the 18th of January due to COVID.
And also, we realized this yesterday, Carolina's team name is the Hurricanes, not just the Hurricane. Each individual player and coach is a hurricane in of itself. Sorry about that, Nick.
No, you're good. Multiple factors to weigh in there as well. Yeah, Tampa Bay 6-1 straight up in the last 7 on the road. Also, Tampa 4-1 straight up in their last 5 games. They're just a juggernaut. The Islanders -135 against Washington. Now, Washington won last game when these two teams played, and Washington has been winning, but they're missing Ovechkin. They're missing Kuznetsov. They're banged up, but I'm banking on the Islanders to figure it out this time. Caps are playing a backup goalie as well.
Nick, in that game.
Yeah.
Islanders are 5-1 first period overs. Washington 5-2 first period overs.
There we go. Also, the total has gone over in 4 of Washington's last 5. Now we come to those
hold on, I got to find the first period over.
It's tough to get into. More wagers, periods.
We come to those vaunted Pittsburgh Penguins at the Bruins.
I already picked them.
That's the under is at 5.5 right now, I believe.
Bruins 6-0 to the under first period.
Yeah, +100. I like this one a lot.
I heard this morning also that the Penguins have lost their last 9 in Boston.
Yeah, Boston 5-0 straight up in their last 5 games when playing at home against Pittsburgh. 5-1 against the spread.
Shut up, Carl. Shut up!
Lock the
Connor,
doors.
Connor, shut the fuck up.
Lock the doors.
Now, here's the curious thing, Diggs, is the total has gone over in 11 of the last 15 when Pittsburgh plays Boston.
Son of a bitch.
But
I can't have this two or more selections from same event cannot be combined in the parlay. So I'm going to have to go back through all this goddamn.
But this season, average goals for Pittsburgh averaging 2.8 and average goals against Boston only averaging 2 goals against the game. They're playing great D.
Can I go back and ask some questions here for this parlay?
Yeah.
Do we feel better about Rangers Sabres under 6.5 or Rangers money line?
Under 6.5.
Okay, trash that one. See you,
Rangers. I believe I actually heard that the Rangers are the least profitable team to bet on this year.
Yeah, they've struggled. Everyone thought they were going to be very, very good because of the finish they had last season. They've struggled out of the gate. Young right. team.
How about Flyers to win or the over 5.5 in that game?
I personally like the win.
See you later, over. And then Penguins to win or the under 5.5?
The under.
He doesn't. No.
I'm getting ready.
No trust in the Pens.
I'm getting ready. I'm picking the Penguins. They lost 9 straight. They ain't going to make it 10. And then the Islanders money line or over 1.5 in the first period?
Islanders money line.
Yeah, go with Nick.
Dicks, that was a good bet. You had facts and shit. All right, that's plus 3,000. I do have
facts, but you know.
It's plus 3,000.
Who's starting for the Islanders is what matters.
Varlamov, I believe.
Who's been a brick wall.
And the Caps are playing their backup, Vanecek.
Vanecek.
I'm going to win $7,896 from this one.
Plus your
79,000.
If you want to bet against the Red Wings, too, you can go Stars. Puck line here. I'm feeling frisky. Dallas 1.5 at plus 142.
That's also a good one. The Detroit is 6-1 to the under first period, and Dallas is 3-0 to the under.
5-0 straight up in the last 5 games. We're playing at home against Detroit as well.
What, Gump?
Liverpool just scored.
I know. I fucking saw it. I didn't know if he was smirking about that or.
Ale, 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 ale. Ale, ale.
Ole, 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 ole.
You go ale?
Liverpool is ale, my friend.
I didn't know that because they stink.
Whoa, dude. It's a beautiful game. Let's enjoy it.
YNWA.
Game kind of stinks, but we make a lot of money off you betting on it, so we appreciate it.
Any more, Nick?
Yeah, a few more to get in here. Over 6, San Jose and Colorado. San Jose can't stop anything. Colorado's a scoring machine. Met knows. Young Met is a new ass fan.
San Jose, 6-1 to the over in the first period.
Nick, when you give this many bets, you have a chance to fail.
Yeah, I know. I went 1-9 a couple days ago, so I'm really trying to make up for it and get back on top. I hadn't had a losing day until that day, though.
Fucking man of truth.
1-9, I'm putting this parlay in.
Champion for truth.
Gotta lay it out there. Christ, we're trying to get back into the positive.
We don't have to do 10 picks, though.
Champion of truth. You don't gotta take them all.
You can't win if you don't bet.
We're going Vegas minus 140 on the money line at home against St. Louis, plus the over there is plus 100, over 6.
Jesus Christ.
We're going under 6.5, Toronto at Edmonton. These two teams have played, and everyone thinks they're going to light it up. It never happens. Toronto minus 130 as well on the money line, and Vancouver minus 160. They played Ottawa last night. They're playing them again tonight. They beat them like a drum last night, 6-1, I believe, 5-1, and they're playing them again tonight. Ottawa just stinks.
I'm just going to go all the favorites on a money line or puck line, and I'm just going to hit that parlay as well because that's what it sounds like.
The favorites have been hot, especially home favorites.
Except for the Bruins tonight against Penguins.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Blue Jackets or Panthers, Nick?
That is one of the only games I didn't pick, but if I was going to, I would take the Panthers.
That one's plus 47,000. We'll go ahead and put another hundo in there. There's another 47 grand coming. All right, I got a bunch of parlays. Let's have a night, huh?
Hey, let's have a night.
Let's have a Thursday. The stock market, who knows what's going to happen over there, but...
We're holding.
Tony Stonks.
We're holding.
Who is?
Everyone.
Spread the love in Michigan for the Pistons game tonight as well.
I think it was up to plus 120 or something like that.
Actually, I mean, we had a little bit of a rally at the end of the day.
Who did?
Stonks?
The Stonks.
GameStop?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to GameStop. I'm not on GameStop.
Are you on Doge yet?
No.
What do you want?
Huh?
Naked.
If you're not Sundown. If you're not on Doge, just get the hell out.
Did you say you're on Sundowners? That's a place up there in Niagara Falls.
Good place.
Good place.
Good place. Hey, we gave you a lot of picks today. Tomorrow we'll be back with a lot of props. Mike's going to do his film breakdown for us. Tell you what, last time the film happened, Chiefs Chiefs had a lot of yards.
How come he told us? Did we watch it yet? Is he expecting us to do that?
I'll probably.
No, I've been tapping into it. I've been in the lab.
I have my NFL Game Pass account. I could probably watch a few plays.
They've been aired out on NFL Network.
That's why I like to watch all the games anyways.
Smart.
The Red Zone channel for me.
We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. 3:30 right here. Hammer.
Down.